ist eine gute Show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers. Hey guys, welcome back. This is Never Seen It, the podcast where I have people rewrite famous movies and TV shows they have never seen, and we read them for you here in the studio. In today's episode, we're very excited. We have a very special guest. We are joined by Dan Harmon.
Hello, thank you.
Hey, thank you for joining us, Dan. And that's nice.
Soup's on.
He demanded we have soup.
And also joining us, we have Aaron McGowan and Melissa Gavarette.
Everybody. Hello.
What's up, babies?
And they will be reading here with us. So thank you guys very much for listening to the podcast. Thank you guys here for joining us in studio. Like we do every episode, we're going to tease our close up top. Our closing bit is what I've been given the feedback is our favorite bit, the only bit we like, more of this bit. And why does the host have to be there and not this guy? This is guess what movie my dad is describing based on having only seen the trailer and never having had heard of the movie. And so here's we're going to give a quick tease of this.
Okay. Oh, okay. I know this guy.
So he is actually, it's like altered states. Like he's reporting as he's watching.
Yeah, basically
reporting his visions.
Notes of the trailer have been taken, and then those notes are reread back to us.
I see a goat with five eyes.
You're pretty close.
Okay. I'm witnessing the dawn of man. Oh my God, I'm a monkey. I'm a monkey. Let me out.
That's my dad's director's commentary to 2001. I'm tossing the bone. It's fading. It's fading. It's a ship. So today's script is for a movie none of us have seen, but is a movie that historically everyone loves. Seems yeah, to have played an important role, right? I think that it's Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
So what's your knowledge of Lawrence of Arabia coming in?
I a couple of years ago, I remember seeing a trailer for it at like an old-timey theater that I was there to see something else, like Gremlins or something.
Yeah.
And I think they played a trailer. So I've seen a trailer. I can't.
Yeah.
So I know it's got Peter O'Toole in it. I know his eyes are very blue, and. And I don't know. I just saw images of him dressed like a desert guy and like leading. I think indigenous peoples to insurrection against probably his own realm. that's what I projected onto it.
Yeah.
I was like, I bet this is kind of like the first Avatar or Dances with Wolves.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I don't know. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is. It's shot in some sort of aspect ratio that needs to be very particularly shown.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that aspect ratio is.
I put that in my script, actually.
Oh, there we go. Oh, I don't want to spoil the spoil. Well, what we want to do is real quick make sure we have it cast up.
All right.
So, Dan, you can actually cast between Melissa, Aaron, and I.
Okay.
These various parts.
Well, the parts are, even though he doesn't actually have any dialogue, I think there's a. Let's just have you be Alibi Jel Jamathani.
Perfect.
Wow.
I think all he's gonna do is give a, kind of a war cry. Then there's these British characters, an engineer. I guess it's Melissa and
Aaron.
Aaron. Okay, yeah. I'm just gonna Melissa be the engineer.
Perfect.
Aaron, be the oligarch.
Okay, I don't do accents, so please forgive me, everyone.
Yeah. We'll find a way to get through it.
Okay, thank you.
They're going to ask me to stop by the end.
And then Melissa, be the queen.
Nice.
And, how active do you want to be in it?
I can do as many as you like.
Then you be James St. John. And, Aaron, you be the military butler.
Nice, I'm into it.
And I'll be Lawrence, or is that hoggish of me?
No, you could also be Lawrence.
Okay,
Aaron, it's actually Lee James's military butler.
Is that what it says?
No, that's just that movie.
I think that's it. Okay, I think those are all the parts.
All right.
All right.
This is Lawrence of Arabia by Dan Harmon.
Fade in. Exterior, desert, day. Majestic sand dunes, shot on a specialized panoramic film stock that lasted for 2 years, so if you watch it on Blu-ray, it's letterboxed to the width of a snake. But it's beautiful. The score swells as text fills the screen. Both the score and the font of the text have a problematically Arabic feel, like the lowercase t's look like curvy salami swords.
Salami swords.
It is the turn of the 19th century, and while the New World is consumed with civil war and the gold rush, the Old World is still very much Britain's empire, with Queen Victoria's navy in control of every port from Finland to Australia. Her Majesty's resources, however, are spread thin, and in climates less hospitable to British occupation, native unrest is gaining momentum. Perhaps the least hospitable region, a stretch of scorching hot sand between the Tigris and Euphrates, known to British colonists as the Deadly Crescent. The natives call it by their own word for strength. Arabia. The text fades, leaving only Arabia to serve as a chyron. The camera pans from the dunes to a stretch of railway. A steam train howls past us and chugs toward the horizon with sound design that Quentin Tarantino will reference as tits and pussy for the ears in a 1997 interview with Cinecom.
Wow.
We would be content to watch the steam train for hours because the film stock is so beautiful. They had a special theater built just to show the movie, but as a score turns sinister, a lone hoof lands in frame. We cut to reveal its source, a barely tamed Arabian horse whose name we'll learn is Nuksuna, Arabian for Dagger of the Sand. Atop this fierce warhorse is an even fiercer stallion, Alibi Jael Jamathani, portrayed by Alec Guinness in mascara and bronzer. Alibi regards the train with strategic resentment before raising his curved saber. In response, a dozen horse-mounted Hispanic extras playing Arabian freedom fighters emit high-pitched, highly problematic war cries.
War cries!
The ragtag bunch charges full speed after the train. Interior train, engine car. The British engineer glances at his rearview mirror, then puts his monocle in and checks it again. AFI's website notes this as the first double take on color film.
Good heavens!
A British oligarch with two monocles enters the car.
What's the meaning here?
A spot of nomad bandits, sir.
I was to understand this region had been civilized.
That it has, my lord. But the savages are slow to learn. Shelby, accelerate!
A hunchback dressed like a chimney sweep grunts something cockney and shoves coal into a furnace with a fancy spoon. Exterior, desert. The steam from the smokestack thickens as the tempo of the chugs increase and the train puts distance between itself and the wailing bandits. Interior, train, engine car. The oligarch is pleased.
Good show, conductor.
I'll give it to the brute, sir. They've got fire in their blood, but you can't fight progress with sand!
The two Brits spot something ahead, a huge pile of sand on the railroad track.
Dune on the track!
Stop the train!
I can't! They tricked us into going too fast!
Exterior desert. The train hits the sand dune and derails, then explodes, sending bags of tea and chandelier jewels raining down as the men on horseback cheer.
My tea!
Yes!
There's a jarring one-frame transition to a totally different level of brightness and contrast, making our brains go, yeah, what's happening, before we realize we're experiencing one of those pre-digital dissolve transitions that required putting two frames of film in a sheet bladder full of turpentine and exposing it to incrementally larger wattage bulbs before stapling each resultant frame back into the movie so you spend the duration of it completely distracted and raising the question, wouldn't it retain more immersion to just cut to exterior, London, day? Distant Cambridge bells chime as two little girls play with a barrel hoop outside a government building. Chiron, Her Majesty's Ministry of Intelligence Services, a.k.a. MI2. It's olden times, so it's not MI6 yet. Interior, Ministry of Intelligence Services. Professor Admiral James St. John is in the middle of a conversation with Queen Victoria.
Tell me about this Lawrence of Manchester.
He's quite decorated for his work in Marrakesh, save for the odd disciplinary issue.
Go on.
Well, Your Majesty, Lawrence is as English as they come, but there's no other way to put it, really. His blood runs a trifle hot.
A military butler enters.
Captain Lawrence has arrived, my lord.
Your majesty.
Quite.
Thank you.
The military butler exits as Lawrence enters. He's Peter O'Toole, that much I'm almost certain. He has crazy blue eyes that look like the people that use too much spice in the movie Dune. Professor Admiral, your majesty, may I present a token of my honor? Lawrence presents the queen with a beautifully crafted necklace made of bamboo and mouse skulls. The queen recoils.
Oh.
Good God, Lawrence! Have you lost your graces? Are those pieces of rodents?
This is a high warrior's necklace of honor from the Zulu chieftain. Belonged to his son, slain in battle. Its value is incalculable.
I should think we agree on that much.
For the sake of pudding, Lawrence, remove that vile trinket from the eyes of the realm. If the Zulus had more of value than opium, we shan't have sent you to defeat them.
Of course, my lord.
Lawrence pockets the Zulu necklace, which will, 20 pages from now, block the blade of a dagger during his combat trial after he's taken prisoner by Arabic insurgents.
What do you know of Arabia, Lawrence?
Yeah, nice. I like that. That's a good choice.
Alexander deemed it untamable. Genghis Khan never advanced past its edges. Amenhotep believed Ra forged Arabian hearts from wild steeds so that Egypt might always know humility.
And to what do you credit such a troubling reputation, Captain?
Quite simply, Your Highness, Arabia has no wealth. Therefore, its spirit knows no corruption. To an Arabian, there is only one currency. Strength. Do you know the Arabian word for surrender, Your Majesty?
Let me guess. They don't have one.
No. It's kulinar. No, you're right. They don't have one. I was embarrassed that you scooped me.
Well, they may have no word for surrender, Lawrence, but what they do have is wealth. They just don't know it. Lawrence, what do you know about a substance called oil?
Only what we were told in basic training. A viscous liquid, repellent to water, with a rich hydrogen content making it readily combustible, and a potentially unprecedented source of energy for mechanization.
Here's what they didn't tell you. Arabia, beneath its sand and savagery, is an ocean of oil. Which means 5 to 10 years from now, if someone invents a car, the least valuable colony on Her Majesty's Empire will become a war chest vast enough to not only secure British rule, but to quite possibly allow us to reconquer America.
When it comes time to do so, sir, I should hope I'll be retired. The Americans are a free people, capable of that which we have only ever tasted in our poetry. A victory over America would be a loss to mankind's purpose.
Granted. However, you will accept the mission of journeying to this Arabia and bringing it once and for all to Britannia's heels.
If Your Highness wishes it, Arabia will be purged of insurrection. I'll need a dozen of our finest men.
I'm afraid that's not possible, Lawrence. Discretion is as valuable as the territory itself. Simply put, we're asking you to pacify and, if necessary, to ethnically cleanse all of the Middle East single-handedly. Will that be a problem? Forgive me for saying it, but your reputation for questioning authority precedes you.
Only when the authority has been weak, Lieutenant. I respond only to strength. The secret to my long record of military success is the same as the reason for my record of discipline. We zoom into his face as his blue eyes shine like lasers. I don't believe in compassion, and I have no capacity for friendship. So, of course, he does have a capacity for friendship. He just has to meet Ali Alibi, who's right. Like, yes. The shadow he casts, the Arabian version of Peter O'Toole. And then he'll go native, as they say, and he'll secure the independence of Arabia. Which will come to be called Saudi Arabia. The Saudi part gets added, like the way that the land falls off of Hollywood and all the movies.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Fell off of Hollywood land and right onto Arabia.
Possibly. maybe that's what happens.
Exactly, the Arabia land.
The Rocketeer knocks the letters off of Hollywood land and they jumble into Sanskrit and...
We're Saudi now.
One thing leads to another.
Just one person who studied abroad for one semester is like, I can actually make this into Sanskrit. I think I know how to do this here. I think that pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd watch it.
I wish anyone had seen Lawrence of Arabia so that someone could tell me if I'm even close.
People will let us know.
I have to believe you're not close. I have to believe that, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea what time period it's set at. I know you can obviously tell it's a period piece. I don't know.
But if you ask me a decade, I don't know if I could. I'd be like 18.
Yeah.
It starts with 18.
Don't know.
It could start with 19. It could be our idea of what it was like in 1960 there.
Oh, I definitely thought it was on Anakin's home planet. So, wow, way off.
Way off.
Not that far.
You don't think that in general, though, that the most general thing you can say about the movie's plot is that Lawrence is sent to Arabia to, like, tame it or do something different than he ends up doing, which is respecting it and leading it to freedom.
It just he goes from leaving the people everyone there is savages, so just go take what we need from them to, wait, these people. It's like he's teaching inner city kids how to do math with rap, but it's all about oil.
Right. I don't know about the oil part. That part I kind of just – that was like a little sci-fi.
I believed it.
But yeah, I wonder – I mean it would be fascinating to me if I was wrong about that guess, that it's not a Dances with Wolves.
What if he does just go kill them? Or a very straightforward plot.
Or he just like – just fade in on him loving Arabia. Yeah. I don't know.
Like kind of deciding to stay there.
It's pretty nice here. I'll win an Oscar for this and not have to worry about it the rest of my career. Yep. That's what Peter O'Toole would say and then –
there's people listening that are going, you guys know this is based on history, right?
I don't even know if it is.
Yeah,
is
I didn't
it?
Know that. Is it?
Yeah,
I believe it is. Oh. I just don't know anything about history. So.
Yeah, same.
Or what the history was when this movie was written and the view of how accurate that was.
Yeah.
In 1950, we had a pretty good grasp about how all groups of people behaved. And so I think we put it into screenplays. So you've never seen what we've never seen. None of us have seen Lawrence Arabia.
Nope.
No.
What I like to ask people is there's all these very big movies, TV shows, these things no one's gotten the time to see. What's the worst in quotes, I guess, movie you've invested the most time into?
I would say Hudson Hawk for me or Xanadu.
Yeah. Xanadu?
Yeah.
So how many how many viewings do you think you've gone through these?
I think I've seen Xanadu like 25 times throughout my life.
Okay.
But a lot of those are packed into my childhood.
Okay. Do you give it like a yearly rewatch or something like that?
I have come in my older age to, because it gives me such a childlike delight. And you get one day a year where you can make everybody do whatever you want, which is your birthday. So recently, last couple years,
I was hoping you're going to be like, which is Memorial Day.
I've kind of just forced my friends to watch Xanadu
on your birthday.
Yeah.
That's a great birthday tradition, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like that.
What are we thinking, Aaron? What's the most time you've invested into something?
The movie that's the worst that I have invested a lot of time in is Switch. The Switch? Switch.
Oh, with Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston, where she wants to have a baby and doesn't have a father, so she's going to get this guy's semen to impregnate herself, and he accidentally knocks it into the bath, like into the sink, and the semen goes into the sink, so he has to put his semen into this cup so she doesn't know, and so it's his child.
Oh,
the old semen switcheroo.
That's based on an old Brady Bunch, I think.
Yeah.
Old replace the semen.
For sure.
I remember the wholesome semen swap. They did it off camera back then, though. It was just the silhouette of Peter behind a curtain. And they were like, you can assume what they're doing.
Yeah.
But
and they would use the
it.
Metaphor of glue for a vase.
Exactly.
Gross. Yeah, they would.
Well, yes, it is gross, Brady Bunch.
Oh, no.
What a gross show.
We're on to you.
Not me.
Yeah, it's not you.
Then Alice is in there cleaning up, and she knows.
Oh,
she always
knows.
Alice knows. How many times do you think you've seen The Switch?
Oh,
Switch.
200
enough
times.
To learn if the title is The Switch or Switch. 200?
I've seen it so many times. It's just, like, calming to me for some reason. It's fun to watch. Everyone's pretty in it. It's, like, easy. You know it ends well.
Is this a new movie?
She's also a chronic fall asleeper when she watches.
Yeah.
So she might say 200. She's probably seen half of that.
Yeah. I've seen the beginning 200 times.
But it's also, so Dan has seen a movie 25 times that was cherished from his childhood.
Yeah.
You've seen a movie 200 times that has Jason Bateman in it, so I know is less than 7 years old.
I love Jason Bateman.
Did you see it in theaters?
No. Oh, no, well, it was a find.
Late in life?
It was a find on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's there on Netflix. Check it out, everybody.
I lived with someone whose comfort movie was Cloverfield. The first Cloverfield.
And
she would always put on Cloverfield or the two towers, Return to the Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
two
that
towers.
One is good. Oh, that
those
one.
Were her comfort movies, and
Helm's Deep.
She would just write with Cloverfield on in the background.
Mm.
I have what could be considered a provocative and entertaining question.
Ooh.
Of all celebrities today, and it could be male or female.
Okay.
They also, as you know, could be one of six other observed genders. I don't want anyone writing letters into your show. But any celebrity out there, who do you wish? Which celebrities?
I already have my answer. Is
which
that
celebrity's parent? Which oh. celebrity's father? Do you wish had swapped semen with Jason Bateman? In other words, what celebrity out there do you wish was half Jason Bateman, I guess?
John Leguizamo.
Got the switch? You wish John Leguizamo was just his masculine half was replaced?
My second runner-up for worst movies I've seen so many times is John Leguizamo's The Pest. I watched it as a child, and I wouldn't make my friends watch it. It is a very sad farce version of The Most Dangerous Game, which is like this piece of literature, and it takes place in Miami. John Leguizamo.
So who is a very serious actor I wish was a little bit better at rambling his way through seeming to be the straight man in things?
All right.
That's
well,
all I broke it down.
I remember the posters for The Pest, and I have to say, the people marketing that movie, they should be shamed because the poster was just John Leguizamo like staring up into like a high mounted camera, like on a monochromatic background.
Yeah.
And if it's the most dangerous, if you'd showed me a poster, it was John Leguizamo running from hunting dogs in Miami.
Yeah.
Like
Vizcaya.
I would have probably bought a ticket to it.
I bought enough tickets for all of
for
us.
For everybody, yes.
But also, yes, I agree. John Leguizamo, I love you, and I want to see your show in New York.
I bought enough tickets for all of us, and I have them here. Got them signed by The Leg. That's John Leguizamo's nickname.
The Leg.
So you said that was your runner-up.
My real choice is Disney's Haunted Mansion starring Eddie Murphy.
Look at how happy you got just saying
so
it.
So happy.
I love that movie so much. It's so bad. Oh, it's so bad.
Either. Yeah, I don't
well,
know.
That's it's for the best, but it's, you know, they were making Pirates of the Caribbean and all these movies that were based on Disney rides, and then they made The Haunted Mansion, which is one of my favorite Disney rides, and it's just a real nightmare of a movie, but I love it. But I think it's in my DNA. My family has, like, a streak for loving really terrible
I think it's
movies.
It's in my DNA. My family lives in a haunted mansion. And so
my family is Eddie Murphy. So.
He once was all of us at dinner. I saw that.
Have you seen Casper?
I have. Oh, yeah. I saw it in theaters.
That shit is dark.
Yeah.
The one with Devon Sawa as the Casper guy?
I assume so. I don't know. Is he
the handsome
like a Justin
young
Bieber-y
man.
Looking
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but more importantly, the movie where, like...
Her dad...
Bill Pullman is, like...
Bringing people back to life
And dying?
Yeah.
Like the threat is that he's going to kill himself?
Yeah,
or,
children's movies. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just remember...
The ghosts are kind of, like, leaning on him to, like, put a gun in his mouth, you know? Like they're trying to get him drunk and sad enough.
Yeah, to kill himself.
So that he kills himself so he can be a ghost. It's just, like, insanity.
Not a bad pitch, though.
But also really awakened a lot of, like, deep emotional feelings if you were a 12-year-old girl watching that movie. Because 100%. You're like, let's get this technology working because every ghost will turn into Devon Sawa. So it was an emotional it was an emotional time for us.
I thought ghosts were so funny because I remember I saw it's called The Frighteners, isn't it, with Michael J. Fox?
That one was intense.
And I was terrified of it the first time I saw it, and then I rewatched it recently, and I was like, I think this was supposed to be a comedy, but it gave me nightmares. He would die, he would kill himself and then come back to life over and over again to like go between fighting ghosts and fighting non-ghosts, and then whoever the main ghost would carve numbers into people's foreheads and stuff. And I don't know if it was a Disney movie, but I know it was a comedy because the poster is like Michael J. Fox, half ghost, half not ghost. And it's like, he's jumping between two worlds. Check out Michael J. It's like right at like after back. He's like, look at him. Goofing off with these ghosts, and then there's people with razor blades carving numbers in the people's foreheads the whole time.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a real edgy movie for what it. Yeah,
and I saw it because Busey's son was in it, and I'd just seen Starship Troopers and was like, this guy's my favorite.
Wow. That is not wow. what the casting director expected well, to be.
The draw.
To be
I imagine since they're probably unemployed now, they might be listening to this, and maybe they'll hear that they did a good job from 1995 to 1997.
I'm sure they were just trying to help Jake Busey out, and I also like Jake Busey, yeah. but I think you may be the only one who's ever actually made the decision to buy yeah, I mean,
been
movie
like,
the
guy I like was, and then in The Frighteners, he was like a terrible person.
How hard did you have to look at the fine print on a movie poster to make the decision?
Oh, he was. Yeah, he had to have been in the trailer.
That was Jake Busey. I'm in.
I was calling Movie Phone, and I was like, "What's Busey? What's Busey Jr. in?
You have requested a actor search for Jake Busey.
We need to get a live human on the phone to answer this question.
Jake Busey is in the following films: Starship Troopers. I don't know why the words of the movie titles are also broken up.
It's broken up into syllables.
They had so that guy sad. Say every word in the dictionary. Dances with Wolves.
We need you to just do every syllable enunciation.
Because there's also Starship. Troop Beverly Hills. Yeah.
Starship Troop Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we got a troop.
You just saved $5.
Don't worry, Todd. We got troops.
Someone
going.
Got a promotion because they're like, move up the release of Troop Beverly Hills so we can get this movie phone overlap. Plus, we're going to avoid this movie.
The biggest scandal in movie phone history.
They're somewhere peeing their pants right now going, we haven't had a Google alert in years.
Oh, yeah. Yusung, make sure you leave movie phone off the description of this. I don't need them riding Coming our after. Coattails.
Riding our coattails. Duck tails.
Tails from the crypt.
Tails from the crypt. Tails from the hood.
Tails from the crypt is another one that gave me nightmares from only watching the intro while my parents would watch it. And I remember at the beginning, the crypt keeper. Mm-hmm. Like sits up and is like ha 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 and yeah. that gave me nightmares.
Yeah, that's not something that's not the thing your parents should have let you watch.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to be watching. It was like through the door type of
nice.
It's all
that,
on me.
That and nice. Even Are You Afraid of the Dark? We'd have to like hum through that attic intro because there would be like a pop up clown and some other things. And I was like, this is too edgy for me, Nick at Night.
I don't know if they are
Snick
unscary now if I rewatched it.
Yeah, probably holds up. That's my hope. I'll never watch it again because I'm too.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Scared.
I want us to remember the movie phone voice because we're going to do this before and afters game, and I want to read the titles like it's the movie phone person get because they mash up two titles into one, and so I want us to remember that, and we'll read this description here. Let's make sure we leave this in. Me stumbling through this game I've introduced 15 times, and so it's thank you.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you. I don't know what this one is like, what they shake in Anchorman before the fight, what that feels like. So it's going to be, I'm going to give you the plot to a movie, and it is two movies combined into the title. I should always remember to have an example.
Pelican Brief.
No, that's a different game.
Oh.
You might be thinking of something else from something else.
Dang.
So here's one. Here's an example. After working as a doctor, a lawyer, and a co-pilot for years, this master of deception moves on to a high school party where he tries to finally make a move on Amanda. And that's Catch Me If You Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
that's like the hard.
Gosh.
That's a hard one.
Okay, I'm just going to watch this one.
That's a hard
one. Yeah. You're going to watch
one,
Melissa be really good.
This is
I'm like, take up
these break. These are before and afters, and one movie in all of them is a Will Smith movie.
Wait.
So part of every title is a Will Smith movie.
Oh. I was like, okay. Is this a different game? Okay.
Oh, that's like a fun, that's a nice little bone to throw us.
Yeah, so you can get it, you can at least
can
narrow
it
down.
Can we work together if it feels right?
We're going to have to work
I don't know
together.
Why you were so anxious about it. Can
okay.
we please,
can we please
work together? I don't know what summer camp incident prompted this teamwork anxiety. So this is before and afters for, and part of each one is Will Smith. Here's number one. After shooting some b-ball outside of the school, a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble and decided there was no rule that says the dog can't play basketball. This is easy.
Air Bud, something about Air Bud. and the
and fresh print, fresh print,
fresh air, fresh oh. bud.
Oh,
fresh air bud.
What is it? Fresh Prince of Bel Air bud.
There you go.
The Fresh Prince of Bel Air bud.
Nice! Thank goodness for teamwork.
Playing at 3 o'clock is the Fresh Prince of Bel Air bud. Playing at 4:30.
It's got a little TV.
Oh yeah,
here,
yeah.
Movie
that was
game.
Some TV. We didn't
that one I thought was
coming.
Easy enough to. There is, I think, one more TV.
Oh
one.
Yeah, it was super easy.
Yeah.
None of these are all so dumb. A life-shattering secret torments Ben Thomas. In order to find redemption, he sets out to change the lives of seven strangers by punishing them for committing any of the seven deadly sins.
Right. Oh, well, that's... isn't that just...
That one's seven.
It's
the
seven...
The second part is seven.
Dot, 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 grams. Right? Wasn't it... Or ounces? With
pounds.
Pounds,
it is 7 pounds.
7 pounds.
7 pounds. I don't know how you say with the number in the middle of the word seven, but I typed it. Seven pounds.
7 pounds. We're winning. Kyle
is really pounds?
Losing.
The movie's 7 pounds. Yeah.
Aaron and I had to get Dan Harmon in order to help. We had to get Dan Harmon to be our teammate in order to help us win this
game.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just joined a comedy band. Sorry.
I thought that seven whatever movie with Will Smith in it was based on the apocryphal kind of the concept that there's a... When you weigh a person and then you weigh them after they're dead, the weight changes by...
Maybe.
But it's not 7 pounds.
But that's the name of the movie is 7 pounds.
Is it?
Yeah. Bad poster.
You know what? Maybe there's another movie that's called like 9 grams or whatever and it's based on that.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I think that's Blow. You're thinking of Blow about the weight difference that happens to someone. All right. I'll tell you this one. This is TV plus Will Smith movie.
All right.
Okay.
It's nice of you to admit.
A fat. Can I get just a clip of you saying that's nice of you to admit just to play for like as my alarm when I wake up? A Fab Five set out to Atlanta to help the city's straight male robots refine their wardrobes, grooming, and 3 laws of robotics.
Okay.
We got Queer Eye for the iRobot.
No. Well, is it iRobot or is it the new one?
Yeah.
Is it the new one on Netflix?
As succinct as possible.
Just to say Queer Eye Robot.
Queer Eye Robot.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. Aaron Sorkin pens a steampunk, historically inaccurate representation of the United States, where President Ulysses S. Grant orders a Civil War hero and a U.S. Marshal to arrest a diabolical inventor set on assassinating him. And it takes place primarily in one area of the White House.
Wild Wild West Wing.
Wild Wild West Wing it is.
Damn!
And here's our last one.
Okay.
A military courtroom drama where a lawyer attempts to uncover a conspiracy behind orders that lead to the death of a young alien Marine disguised as a human.
Oh, I can't even. I'm sorry.
Men in Black. Men of Honor.
I can't remember the goddamn what's Honor the... movie. It's code. But the play is called Code Red, and I can't remember the name of the movie.
He's right.
You can't handle the truth movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Men of Honor? Is that what it is?
No.
No. It's not.
Oh, God damn it. These walls have guns and these walls.
What is.
It's not Jerry Maguire, right?
You're close with someone who's in it.
It must end with men so that it can become in black.
Yeah.
So what is it?
A few good men in black. There we go.
That's the last one.
What
we rolled through the before
alive.
And afters, didn't we?
I'm so happy right now.
I could tell. All right, this is a...
I needed that win.
This is a quick one. Here, this is IMDb trivia. We have one movie. I'm going to read you some of the more obscure trivia from the movie, getting less and less obscure, more and more obvious, and you just have to tell me what movie it's from.
Wait, sorry, I didn't get most of that.
I'm going to read trivia from its IMDb page.
Okay.
And we got to guess
what it is. Oh, so it's one movie.
One movie.
One movie.
All right. The main star of this movie... signed on before even reading the script.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Wouldn't that have been... That sounds like everyone signed on to that without reading the script.
That happened to Sean... What's his face?
Really? Sean, what's his face?
He turned down like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, and then they offered him and like regretted it. And then
Connery?
Yeah, and then they offered him League, and he was like, I'm not messing up again. And then it was League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh my God.
You can't go 0-for-3 in anything. I'm taking this movie. Because there's nothing... 3 strikes isn't a phrase. Here's the next one. One of the stars of the film said on the first day of shooting, I've been in enough movies to consider myself an authority. And if you take the script and this movie is going to be 2 times better than the script, and this script is a classic. We're going to be part of an all-time classic.
The Watch.
No, but I'd love someone saying that there. J.K. Simmons turned down a part, believing it to be too similar to Vernon Schillinger, his racist character from Oz.
Legend of Bagger Vance? I don't know.
No, but what character in Legend of Bagger Vance do you think is similar to
I have no idea.
J.K. Simmons of anyone on Oz?
Will Smith is in it, right?
Shawshank Redemption. I mean, it's got to be a bad movie, right? It's
Bewitched.
Like,
no.
Pitch Perfect.
You know it's after Oz.
Right. Good point.
Oh, it's after Oz. Oh.
Yeah.
The director...
That was like 3 years
called
ago.
...called this movie...
Okay, okay, okay.
...basically a Three Stooges movie in a lot of ways.
The Watch?
It was The Watch, but this it was the second one, so I had to wait till you said it twice. The Watch is...
Three Stooges type movie?
Lethal Weapon.
No. These last two get a little... Okay, this is... what I found out about this one is it's a good example of a real never seen it. The movie is based on a work that the director admitted to never having had read. And then they made a movie just based on the idea of something.
Wait, I was going to guess a movie. Oh.
I got to keep remembering it's after Oz, but I don't actually know what Oz went on.
I think
Oz
like
was.
Around 2000 it ended, maybe around 2002.
Oz the movie?
Fight Club.
No. I was like, no, Oz 90s. Was on HBO.
Oh,
like
I thought you meant the movie.
No, that's called The Wizard of Oz.
No, there was Oz.
With J.K. Simmons?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. He could have been in it.
Based on a movie based on a book. That was supposed to be good and was terrible and then turned out to be a Three Stooges movie.
That the director never read.
No one ever said it was terrible.
That's just our guess is it's bad.
And it has a character very similar to J.K. Simmons in Oz. What's it called? El Dorado. Wait, no. What? El Camino.
Oh, no.
Game
if it was El Dorado,
three
though,
amigos.
That would have been... No, now you're just thinking Spanish stuff.
No, I'm just thinking three.
Okay.
Three Stooges and Spanish stuff.
Itu Mama Tambien Trace.
Game of Thrones.
No.
If
this one was a TV show and I said movie this many times, that would definitely be on me. All right, this is the last trivia fact that didn't completely give away what it was. The film's website... ran a trivia contest where the winners received cans of a specific brand of pomade.
Oh, this is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
It's Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, I would have never guessed this.
Even
movie.
With the pomade?
Even with the pomade. I think I saw part of it once.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's good.
Should I go write a script about
a good
it?
Soundtrack.
Every other trivia fact was about the soundtrack. Every other trivia, and how George Clooney took like 3 months of vocal lessons and showed up and sang, and they immediately hired someone to sing for him in the movie.
Oh my
god. And it was like George Clooney, multiple things about how much effort he put into learning how to sing, and he came in, and they're like, we're going to have the guy who wrote the song just dub over you. But he had worked so hard. He does
so
such a good job in that scene where he's dubbing over, he looks like he's actually singing.
Yeah, Georgie.
Maybe he was actually singing, you know?
No, I actually read he worked for about 3 months taking vocal lessons.
No, I mean, he was actually singing then. They went in later.
Yeah, that might be it.
Come on,
IMDb trivia. What a fun game that most trivia isn't that exciting.
I want everything that George Clooney spends 3 months on to pay off for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want George Clooney to spend 3 months on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or on more things, I should say.
Yeah. When he puts his powers to good instead of evil.
Or maybe we like George Clooney in the moment. Maybe we were glad that he got punished for focusing and preparing. Maybe George Clooney's at his best when he walks in the door.
A little unprepared, but ready just to go off the cuff.
Bring in the George, you know?
He is so handsome.
Well, hot take from Aaron McGowan.
Sorry! Nobody asked.
I'm not going to win any popularity contest saying this, but I think George Clooney is easy on
the
eyes.
We're going to have to edit this one out because I don't want this in public domain of something I've said, but I think George Clooney's attractive.
He's
if we're going by conventional standards, write down conventional Yusong left.
Well,
staying in.
Okay, so now we're moving on to the new game that we've played one time to much fanfare from me when I get to write it and little to no fanfare otherwise. This is literal titles, so we had the example. This is a I take the movie title and write the most literal, like, one-line plot based on those words. And then you have to tell me what movie it's for. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't think there's anything to connect these together. No, but these might not be good. Good hype, Kyle. You're really selling what you're making here.
Yeah, I'm really proud of you. Right.
Movie one. A day in the life of a hardworking man who refuses to switch to Uber.
Something about Lyft.
Yeah.
Say it again.
A day in the life of a hardworking man who refuses to switch to Uber.
Day in the life of a man. You think the day in the life part is important, or do you think 24 hours?
No, the day in the life was just... Oh, it's pretty throwaway.
You add that shit and then we get distracted.
Yeah,
we're all distracted over it.
Okay.
You said his description of it was the most literal way.
Yeah, what part should we keep?
And then he's like, this spine tingling thriller is a real.
This one is Taxi Driver. We'll say that's Taxi Driver. And then we'll move on to this.
Oh, okay.
That's the answer?
I didn't feel like anyone was dancing close to it. It wasn't a good description.
Yeah. We would have never
Well, here you go.
We were at Lyft.
Do you remember the...
That's why I was like, we got to just say Taxi
Driver.
This is the
one where the example was Pelican Brief.
Yeah.
And it was like a large waterfowl.
Yes.
Pelican.
Goes shopping for underwear.
Briefs.
Pelican Brief. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm saying compared to that Taxi Driver one is like...
That one wasn't great.
Who...
But don't worry, the rest of these were written a little quicker.
Who do we tweet about this?
It's just actually Starburns Audio. Just tweet right at them and Yelp reviews. Maybe just nail some stuff into the walls.
Okay.
All right, this is the next one. The 10th installment in a series of movies about the history of the United States.
Oh, American History X.
American History X.
That feels really good, so we'd like to officially submit that answer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that does. We agree.
We all agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Number three, a Spanish documentary about where the president of the United States lives.
I got this.
Casablanca.
Casablanca.
Oh, Casablanca.
Oh, yes, Casablanca.
That's
why
I'm
is
here
it a documentary? I'm getting mad at him.
It's not scripted.
Yeah, it's
I know,
fair.
I'm upset.
We didn't have time to write the script. It's a documentary.
You can throw a castanet.
Casablanca.
I like stopped myself. I'm like, Casa, and then I'm like, well, it's got to be a documentary, so... And then you swoop in, and we're teammates. We're fine, but
yeah.
But he's the enemy.
Yeah,
like, I'm mad at him.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. That's good. That's the purpose of the whole thing.
It's to bond us together.
Yeah,
I definitely was not en route until I heard Dan say Casa. So just if you're listening at home, just know it was a real teammate.
And I was en route at
what
no
were
point.
You gonna say? Because you said wait, Aaron before anyone said all of the right answers.
Said,
you
I
said
got
I've
it.
Got it. What I've were you gonna it. Say?
I was the part of the team that announced we
that
had
we
had it.
Collectively as a team had the answer.
Yes. Okay.
Your guys' unspoken language with each other is incredible.
She's like the Counselor Troy of our enterprise. Like she just knows when we collectively feel.
I feel.
Like we've got
yeah,
it.
We
I
had
feel
it. It. We had it.
Never seen Star Trek.
This one's gonna get some criticism.
Oh,
the other ones haven't, so it's fine.
Oh no, it's from the public.
Oh no, no.
From us, okay.
A former Oakland football player turned gravedigger helps himself to some jewelry off corpses to make a little extra cash.
I mean, remember the Titans.
What would that... No, nope, you just said a movie with football player in it.
Are they the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No, but closer.
Raiders
of the Lost
Hidden Temple.
Turned Gravedigger.
Raiders of the Any Given Sunday.
Nice.
Turned
Coach
Gravedigger.
Carter.
Helps them
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
Oh, Oakland
Raiders.
Wow.
Melissa, I'm proud of you for really sticking in there.
I know, because also I don't know hardly nary a thing about sports. So when you said Oakland football,
that's
I was like
the very minimal thing. Raider.
That's how I describe the Raiders. Is I'm like the Oakland football men.
it's so hard when you think it's about football.
Oh, this is
going to
be.
Not.
This one is going to such a stretch. Unlike these other home runs. This shouldn't be called literal titles. This should be called figuratively interpret what I think this could have been.
Yeah.
But it's too late.
It should just be called get mad at you in advance.
I have a whole separate podcast that is that. It's mostly voicemails I've slept through, but our main character can't seem to put their shirt on the proper way without the tag sticking out.
Inside Out.
It's Inside Out.
Oh, well done.
Yeah,
that came
I'm
out
starting,
of...
I'm starting to get in, inside his, villainous brain.
You're in his
you
brain.
Have to think how I would think.
Yeah.
And so Dan, who's known me the longest out of the three of us...
Aaron and I are still just shooting blanks over here.
Yeah.
No idea.
I was going to say like Ed TV
you should,
or something.
You should swap blanks with Justin Bateman.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the sequel is swapping blanks.
Swapping blanks.
An unlikely friendship between two sea creatures. And then the tagline is eight arms meets the biggest of the big.
Something like...
Say it again?
An unlikely friendship between two sea creatures.
My... No.
What were you going to say?
Nope.
I want to know what you're going
to
say.
Milo and Otis. I was going to say, don't shame me publicly.
Two secrets. So it's like, it's two like, animals. It's, but one of them is
the tagline is
octopus.
Is it like the, is it the.
Meets the biggest of the big.
Like the, those crazy movies we used to watch on Sundays. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
On the
oh, like
channel?
Sharknado.
Yeah,
and
Sharknado. The,
yeah,
like
we did watch
like that.
Mega, is it Mega
no,
Shark?
No, it's not.
Okay. It's nothing like that?
No.
Okay.
And it's not like.
It couldn't be less like that.
It's not like that one that's like Eagle and Shark. Which that Jermaine Dupri
it's
movie.
Not like a B horror movie.
Okay,
that,
now that
isn't
we,
a
now
B
that we've
horror movie.
Figure that out.
It's not the B movie either.
Two unlikely sea creatures. Should we be focusing in the, on that, or is that just a throwaway?
It sounds like you're
puzzle.
Focusing on your resentment towards the bit.
Is it unlikely? Is it unlikely because those things shouldn't be in the water? Is
oh,
that
oh,
what?
No. The squid and the whale.
Squid and the whale.
But I, so now, so mad at you. They don't have eight arms.
Yes, yeah, they have eight arms, but they don't have eight tentacles.
Oh,
shut the fuck up.
I looked it up. I wasn't certain. I looked,
you
it,
looked
up.
It up.
Why
and
are
it
you
said,
so mad? It said the squids
it says
have eight arms.
The difference between squids and octopuses is that squids have arms.
No, they have six tentacles and two arms, or they're all and they're
what's
they,
a tentacle?
Or other appendages.
What's the difference between a
Hi, I'm going to need to leave the podcast now. I'm
you
done.
Can't for fire reasons. You can't.
You can't
for just because the you know we have everything set up in case there's a fire. There has to be four people in here. All right, last one.
Games.
If you hated all the other ones, boy, is this one going to also be have you feeling the same way. That's I don't know how that's going to fit on my tombstone, but if
but it
did,
should,
it
yeah.
Will.
It
I'll
should.
Have to get a...
But okay. You said eight arms.
It says eight arms, and then it describes them as but, two different things.
But you said it says six tentacles and two arms.
So let's play it back. Let's.
I don't write Wikipedia. Look, not just anyone can put stuff on Wikipedia.
Guess what?
That's real
I write
information.
Wikipedia.
And you should have known it was the squid and the whale. Last one.
Okay.
And then we get to segment two of this, which is 15 more. No, this is the last one. This is the last one. Oh, boy. This is dumb. Oh, God.
Are you going to rewrite
go.
Something
no,
right now?
No, I'm not. I'm going to stick with it.
Okay.
A man struggles to complete a roadside sobriety test. He can do the alphabet backwards. He can touch his finger to his nose. He just can't.
Can't
walk
stop
the line.
Line.
Oh, yeah, walk
dang
the
it.
Line.
Guys,
wait, hold on.
Okay. No, no. Do not make me do it again.
No, because
you guys are now a comedy duo. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I have to go.
They said walk the line at the same time. What were
like,
you singing?
You can't stop the beat.
I'm sorry.
This is legitimately like in a romantic comedy when a couple goes out and sees that there's a way better match for their date.
Yeah. Yeah, and they say, okay, I bow out gracefully.
Come see
we
Dan
don't know
and
why,
Melissa Friday
we don't know
night.
Why Pam was with Roy. Jim's been sitting right here the entire
the time.
You've been roaring it up.
We all looked at each other and nodded, and on the count of three, two of us said walk line, and one person said Spice World. FX2, The Deadly Art of Illusion.
This one's Sharknado.
Oh my gosh.
She didn't say even a movie title. She started singing she started singing Arabian Nights as we were like, walk the line.
And that's giving me a lot of credit. Like, I would write that all out as something. And then Aaron shimmies. I have that all in italics right here.
Oh.
That was kind of literal titles. We're going to work on that. We're at our last
game. Yeah, you're going to work on that.
Yeah, all as a group, yeah. The four of us will work on how
no,
we can improve that
gonna,
together.
You're going to work on it.
I hear what everyone's saying. Uh-huh. And as a group, we'll all work on it. I'll see you guys at the retreat.
And we're saying, you can't stop.
And you didn't even know any of the words except the beginning for the thing that you're very much committed to.
Or just don't call it literal movie tech, because that puts into the mind, it's like, okay, so it's like a word game. Like, I got to think of these things. Yeah. And then he's like,
it's not.
In this Michel Gondry-esque it's like he's just making.
Which one were you doing there?
I almost spit out water everywhere.
Yeah.
Also, your example was so perfect for what the literal movie title was. Yeah. So we were
looking brief.
We were ready.
The only one we
Thank
knew
you. You're
how
right.
to
that
do.
That is a great bit. I hear you guys. That's a great bit. I hear you guys. Edit out everything
I don't think you're hearing the right
bit.
Part. The right part. Is
I'm hearing.
Really
I'm hearing
important.
All the parts that are going to remain in the episode.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what? I haven't even listened to the podcast, and I already like your dad more than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Tweet at him. Tweet at him.
I mean, that didn't get as big a laugh as I thought it would.
Leave a Yelp.
That
no,
might be a genuine soft spot.
We were busy raising our hands, and
they're both texting my dad. That's probably why they couldn't. And speaking of dad, we're here at the end. We're going to play clip. This is guess what movie Kyle's dad is describing, having only have seen the trailer but never having had heard of the movie. And so here we go. And if you think it, just hold it till the end. We'll let it play through. It's only like 12 minutes.
Okay. Oh, okay. I know this guy. A lot of movies seem to happen in the woods. Okay, so this guy shows up and accuses the famous guy of stealing from him. He is very mad about someone stealing from him, even though he talks so calm. They're fighting. His cabin is on fire. And I'm worried someone got killed in that Jeep. The pirate guy keeps talking about the ending.
The pirate?
I swore it was
Is your
there
dad
will...
Confucius?
Yes.
Nailed it.
Yes, he is.
That was the last game, which is, who is Kyle's dad?
Yeah. snowy field filling with lilies. My hand never trembles. It's going to be a long way home.
Down, down, down.
boy, I...
So that's a movie.
I was distracted... in a spiritually uplifting way by your dad's compassion and concern for the guy in the Jeep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like he
yeah, he did care.
He even if you give him the job of dictating what he's looking at, he can't help but be completely immersed in the narrative.
Yeah.
He to the point where he was like, oh no.
Concerned.
Like, for the trailer.
That's why the guy in the movies. Jeep is okay.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he doesn't invest.
Because sometimes in movies they're not okay.
Yeah. Well, that's hard.
That's a loving dad.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's all starting to make sense now. He probably is very supportive of you and never told you when you started workshopping some of your word games anything other than sounds good.
Look, this is gonna,
I just want you to be proud of yourself.
This is going to come to you as a shock. I didn't workshop them. I don't know if you guys can handle that bomb being dropped, but some of these are first timers. Any ideas?
So movies with Jeeps.
I can't believe
like,
what he said at the end is so perfect, though.
Movies.
I know what it is.
With a guy with an eye patch.
Yeah, the pirate guy keeps explaining.
It can also be. Has your dad seen Pirates of the Caribbean? Could that be a reference from
but
somewhere else?
But there can't
else?
Be a Jeep in that.
So yeah, it could be
I
just
see
like.
What you're saying.
So it's like a
it Johnny, could be
Depp.
Johnny Depp.
What's that movie?
It's
where
it's incredible to hear the thought process and how good it is.
I do like
Cabin in the Woods. Is that Johnny Depp?
That is not him.
Who's
it's a horror movie.
Who's when he's like writing a movie? He's writing a book.
Oh, Skeleton Key.
And just to clarify, these aren't necessarily movies that whose trailers are playing right now because could be anything from 20 years.
But y'all are close.
Am I close with the Johnny Depp movie? And he's in a house, and there's a fire.
Yeah.
I sound like your dad.
Yeah. Am I close? Okay. Am I close? Okay.
Is there a no?
Johnny Depp in a fire.
In a house. And he has...
Are you guys sure about this Johnny Depp thing? Because I think eye patch would be the more logical explanation, or the Occam's razor explanation of why he would say pirate guy.
What's the guy?
Because, like, just to see Johnny Depp and go pirate guy and be his dad, like, I don't know.
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah, it is, like, if he was watching Ed Wood, he'd be like, oh, pirate guy. Johnny Depp's kind of... he kind of
I don't think he would know him from anything else.
Also his character in Pirates is like very, like, you know,
a thing. Yeah.
Can you tell, is it Johnny Depp? Is that who he's describing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. Okay. So is it the movie I'm thinking of? I just can't think of the name of it.
Yep.
He's in a Jeep?
There's a guy.
I don't know the Jeep part. I just know he's like writing a book in a house.
And a guy in the woods is like mad at him, and a Jeep explodes.
I think the guy who's mad at him, I don't remember. Is it John Turturro?
Is it book editor?
Ghostwriter?
Crap! What is? It's not.
Deadline.
Is there something about corn in this movie too? Why is corn in my brain about this movie?
I thought he was a ghostwriter. Wasn't there a movie where he was the ghostwriter for a book?
I remember a thriller called Ghostwriter, but.
Tell us.
It wasn't Johnny Depp.
You ready?
I'm gonna be so mad.
You wanna know?
Yeah.
Secret Window!
What did I say?
There was a window. Does he jump out the window?
I don't know.
What did I say? The key? The
skeleton key.
Skeleton key is what I said.
Ugh.
Well, I never would have guessed Secret Window. I have no idea what that is.
But it is Johnny Depp in a house.
It is.
How can a window be secret?
It's like
windows are famous for removing.
The thing that's so bizarre, this movie is one of those ones that has like a, they try and have like their real twist ending. I think
that's where they switch the bodies, right?
No, yeah.
I think like John Turturro's dead the whole time, right. And it's like a ghost accusing Johnny Depp of stealing something like that. Like, but he's around, sort of like Beautiful Mind or something like that, where he's not real, but he's a main character. And in the trailer, five times Johnny Depp says something like, "I just can't. It's all about the ending." Like, while he's writing his story, he's like, "It's all about the ending," and he keeps saying, "It's all." And you're like, well, clearly this movie is just about the ending.
The pirate guy, man, I'm your dad.
It's kind of like when you see a movie that is in any way related to con artistry, you just go, "Okay, so in other words, the third act is going to reveal that the first two acts were a con."
Yeah.
No matter what they're telling you.
Yeah,
like if someone starts saying like, "Let me show you how to con somebody."
Anytime
like,
the narrator is an unreliable con artist, I feel like the screenwriter got real excited when they made this.
It would be funny to do a con artist movie and then just have the third act be like it isn't like an ironic twist of it where it reveals itself and it's just like.
And then they did the con.
The narrator's just like, "And so that's what I told you would happen, because isn't that crazy?" That's the life of a con artist.
But then you'd have to make a second movie and do the exact same thing, like a sequel, do the exact same thing, and then third movie, the whole thing.
As the whole thing happens on a plane.
The whole thing is Con Air. There we go.
We go into the third movie, and it's just a guy taking a shit on a plate and saying, "Thank you for your money.
Thank you.
You just got matchstick, man."
How does this poop plate fit into the MCU? Does anyone know how this the post-credits screen in this guy moved? You just got matchstick manned.
You're welcome, George Clooney.
That's it, guys.
I feel like we just got good at the games.
Yeah,
Kyle.
I want to play again.
Well, that's what we do. The real turn is that we have to want you to play again.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's the only game.
I think I was a little bit of an ingracious guest.
No.
Kind of made fun. It was Aaron and Melissa. I felt like I was getting positive responses from abusing you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you listen to any episode, that could be the other name of the podcast.
I just follow the heat. Yeah. I'm not a mean person. I'm just a
slave to approval. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. You were getting mad support.
Do not worry about it at all.
Two thumbs up the whole time. Two thumbs up.
This
we're
is the only
it.
Time they've liked doing something with me.
Yeah.
And this is the 100th time I've asked.
Yeah. We've known him for many a year.
Yep.
Aaron, Melissa, before we get going, you guys want to tell about your LP that just came out?
Oh, yeah. We just had an album come out on the internet called Love and Dinner Time.
Yeah, we have two albums. So this is our newest one, five songs of all the hot, hot hits.
All those hits you've been asking for. We recorded them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Great. Dan, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you guys very much. Please, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Leave us reviews. We've got Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. So find us wherever and tell your friends. We really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
It's a good show.